Sunday, and then the week before last Sunday night, talked about going into Jesus. Jesus had told Martha, when he was at Martha and Mary's house, he was talking to them, and Martha was up making supper for the whole crew, you know, Jesus and the 12 disciples and everybody else that showed up, and Mary was just sitting there listening to him. And she was talking, and he said, or she said, "Don't you care that I'm doing all the work? Get my sister up and make her come help me." And he said, "Martha, Martha, you worry about so much stuff. There's only one thing that's essential, and Mary's doing it. Only one thing is essential, and that is to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from Him. When you have the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from Him, go for it." Go for it. When you get up in the morning, the first thing you want to do is seek ye first the kingdom of God. That means seek Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else is going to be added unto you. So if you start your day off by saying, "Jesus, I want to be in your presence. I want to learn about you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. Hey, and if I stumble, pick me up, dust me off, and let's keep going. I'm here to find out all about Jesus." Everything else in your day will be added to you. I didn't say it would be a wonderful day. I just said that everything will be taken care of. And then when you come home that night, you can say, "Jesus, things worked out good, things worked out bad, but you're still on the throne, and things are eventually going to come around my way, because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life when I am following Jesus Christ, my shepherd." Thank you, Jesus. By the way, the Bible says He never sleeps, He never slumbers. So what you do is you say, "Listen, I've got all this stuff bothering me. Since you're going to be up all night anyway, you worry about it, and I'll go to sleep." And then just roll over and go to sleep. The Lord will take care of all of our needs. Now, this whole idea that we've been pushing toward is to get in the presence of God. What I'm wanting us to do is to be in that place where God is constantly blessing us. Jesus came that we might have life, and we would have a more abundant life. And that means we're just going, our socks should be blessed right off our feet. You know, every day it ought to just be, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe the things that God pulls off." And when something bad happens, we should be standing there going, "God, what are you going to do with that one? I can't wait to see how you change it, to see how you alter it, because you told me all things work together for my good." Now, this is what the one thing I really want to get across to you guys today is, He said we were to have an abundant life, and I want to try to communicate with you all, to you all, using the Scriptures, how we are to flourish and prosper. Now, when people say the word prosper, we think, cha-ching, we're talking about cash all the time. We're not. Prosperity is not just about cash. Actually, it's kind of low on the list. I can tell you this. I would rather be a poor person and have my health than to be fabulously wealthy and sicker than a dog. Amen. You know, that's just the way it is. So prosperity means that good things are coming to us. We don't have to live like Bill Gates or those billionaires or multimillionaires or even a millionaire, because we've got our health. And I'd rather have health and peace of mind and walking in the presence with God and just making it all right with Him and everything's solid. That is what prosperity is. No worries, as the Australians would say. No worries. We should flourish and have no worries because God's on the throne. Psalm chapter, first Psalm, verse 1 through 3. There's just a few things. Well, you guys will get the picture. How blessed. That word blessed means how favored. How much God likes the person. How much God. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the paths of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But he, that's this blessed man's, but his blessed delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, in God's law, in the Lord's law, he meditates day and night. And he will become like a tree firmly planted by the water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. There we have the flourishing. You'll be just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Flourishing. Your leaves will always be green, and you will always be growing and surviving, even when there's droughts going on, because that's a spring-fed river that's flowing by you, and that river is the river of life, and you're planted by that river, soaking up that good water, and you're going to be growing and flowing because Jesus Christ never runs out of grace. It's always flowing, and you're planted by that graceful stream of His, by that stream that says, I like you. You're always going to be watered, therefore you will always flourish. And He says the person who does this will also always prosper. Well, it's a healthy tree. Why wouldn't it flourish? And in its due season, it's going to bear its own fruit, whatever it is. Cherries, I think, are just about ready to get picked. Or they're getting close anyway. Apples don't ripen up until August and September. Quince comes along in November or something like that. Some trees, I got a pear, well, it's not mine, but I walk this road and there's this pear tree. And those little pears are just harder than bullets until it gets really cold outside. But after we've had some good cold weather, it's worth walking by that tree and picking those pears and eating them while I walk. In its season, that pear tree will produce. So some of us might jump up and start producing really quick. Some of us, it takes a little longer. But God says, if you're planted by that tree, by that water of grace, by that river of living water, you will flourish and you will prosper. You see, there's only three things, main things that you're to avoid. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That just means, if you got a problem, you don't go to an immoral person and ask for his advice on that particular subject. I know a lot of people who are having like marital problems, and where do they go? To their friend who's been divorced 3 or 4 times and say, well, what should I do? Well, don't listen to that person. They haven't pulled together. Find somebody that's got a good, stable marriage and start talking to them. What should I do? How should I handle this? They've got better advice than this other guy does. Don't go to the person and ask counsel from, and that's the word wicked is a little harsh here, but it just means somebody who's wrong. When you know they're wrong, don't be going to them taking advice. First thing you're not supposed to do. You'll notice it's walk, stand, and sit. Don't walk in what they tell you to do. Don't stand in the paths of sinners. This means don't, and the word sinner there, the real meaning is criminals. Don't get in a criminal's way. Don't go to the criminal, the unrepentant. Now, I know there's people, you know, I've got friends that's done all sorts of things that some of them just scare the bejeebers out of me. But you know, they got saved, they got right with God, and they're cool, and they can come to my house anytime they want, put their feet under my table. But I'm talking about this unrepentant person who's a criminal. You don't go to the criminal and say, gee, Mr. Bank Robber, how should I make a living? Well, all you need is a ski mask and a gun and a car to get away in. Don't go to the criminal element asking their advice. Go to somebody who's got a good, solid job and ask their advice. People have come to me at different times and said, what should I do? And I'm, well, I sat down, what do you like doing? Well, And from that, I'll just tell you the truth. I ran a grocery store. I'd hire high school kids. And I would find the meanest, nastiest, dirtiest, stinkiest job that I could find for them after they worked for me a while and knew it. I mean, I would have them scraping stuff that I wouldn't touch. But I'd go over there with them and I'd be scraping and I'd be talking to them about it and scrape, scrape, scrape. And I said this. This is my counselor. This is the advice I gave him. Do you like doing this? No, this is nasty. Well, then get a college education or you'll be doing this kind of stuff the rest of your life. You got to be upwardly mobile all the time. And now that you're so young, you have a chance to go off to college. Now, I've had all the people but one went to college. And I've got people who are pharmacists, counselors, speech therapists. One lady, every time she sees me, she just says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. You motivated my daughter to go to college, and she's got a fine home, a fine family, and things are just really working her way." And I was worried. So that's the whole point. You don't go to somebody who's down and out and ask their advice about living in life. Okay, we've talked about the wicked, we've talked about the sinners. This is the one that Christians really should not listen to. "Nor sit in the seat of scoffers." And that's just what it means, scoffers. Folks, you can be a Christian and be a scoffer. There's plenty of churches who have scoffers in them. And a scoffer just does that. Yeah, right. And so when the minister stands up and says things like, "God loves you." Yeah, sure. "God is willing to work in your life and perform miracles on your behalf." And that's what it means to move the mouth and scoff. I've been in plenty of churches where you're up there preaching and you just see it on the person's face and they're like, "God never did that for me. So if God doesn't do it for me, He ain't going to do it for you." Well, who says so? And maybe it's the attitude the person's got. "Well, I don't believe that can happen. I don't believe God will intervene in my life. Never has." Well, maybe it's because you never believed He would. And as long as you don't believe God has the power and ability to intervene in your life, you'll never be bothered with it. You say, "God can't heal a person." You'll never be healed. "God doesn't bless people like that. You have to do it all yourself." You'll never be blessed. Because God doesn't take to fools kindly, and He doesn't take to being insulted. God is a rewarder of those who believe in Him and diligently seek Him, is what the Bible says. The word "believe" is the word "faith." We keep coming back to this. It is a peaceful trust in God. It's not a worried. It's not a, it's all. If you're all uptight, you're not walking in faith. When you're in faith, you'll say, "It's okay. It's just fine." And that's how you know you're being led by God, is you'll just have this absolute peace. Even though the tornado is raging around you, it'll be okay. I'm going to be all right. My family's going to be all right. I'm not worried about it. The scoffer sits in our pews and scoffs and makes fun of and makes light of the Word of God because something hasn't happened to them. They don't believe it's possible for it to happen to anybody, and they will bring you down. They will bring you down. Now, I don't know if you guys know it, but there's a thing called the crab bucket syndrome. If you're out digging for crabs, all you need is a bucket and two crabs. You see, you put a crab in a bucket and it'll try to get out of the bucket. You put another crab in the bucket. When one crab is just about to get to the top and out of it, the other crab will grab it and pull it back down. So the more crabs you put in there, they're not going to get out even though there's no lid, because as one gets up there, the other ones grab it and pull it down. And that's what crab bucket syndrome is, and that's what scoffers are. You're about to make that leap of faith in arresting trust, believing God for something better than what you've got and what you've earned, knowing that He will prosper you and cause you to flourish, and somebody grabs a hold of you and says, "Nah, that ain't right. The preacher don't know what he's talking about. I've been in this church all these years, and that stuff's never happened before. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, someday, pie in the sky, we're going to go up, and it'll be good up there, but right here, right now, ain't no way." You see, the Scripture says that the nation of Israel was given for our benefit. What happened to them? We're supposed to look and learn from them and then not repeat the same foolish things. What I'm saying is a whole bunch of them got out of Egypt, and then they had a chance to go into a place where the land was flowing with milk and honey. But the crab bucket syndrome got them. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. And after they got there, the 10 that were bad came back and said, "Hey, you don't want to go up there. It's a bad place. Giants are in the land. We'll never take it. Crab, crab, crab. Scoff, scoff, scoff. So what if God told us? I've been there. I know more than God does. Nah, it ain't going to happen." And the rest of the people said, "Don't want to go there." We had 2 saying, "We can do it! God's on our side! Yeah, buddy! Let's go, 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 go!" You see, in that generation, never ever got to the place of the land flowing with milk and honey. And most churches today are never in the land that's flowing with milk and honey because the people don't have enough faith and trust in the Word of God and the promises of God to say, He said it, it's going to happen, and I'm going to trust Him and walk in that resting trust on the promises of God. On the promises of God. He says it, okay. This is truth. God does not lie. I will trust Him to cause me to flourish and to cause me to prosper. And sometimes you've just got to walk away from family and friends and other people who might even be in your church and say, I'll have none of it. I'm going to trust my God. The two people that actually walked in faith and said, we can do it, ended up at 80 years old. One of them got granted after they got into that land flowing with milk and honey. And there were some problems there. They had to go in and trust God. Walk around that city and the city walls will fall. Go and attack that city and I'll deliver it into your hand. There was things that happened there. And it wasn't just a lark. But when they got there, there was this land. And they moved into houses that they did not build. And they picked fruit from trees that they did not plant. And they drank wine from vineyards that they did not plant. And they made bread from wheat that they did not plant. And all they had to do was pick it. And some of it was already in the granary. And all they had to do was just eat the stuff. That's the land flowing in milk and honey. And that's what God wants for us. But to get there, we have to be able to say, I trust my God. God says... In Isaiah 55, my word will not return to me void. Not ever, not never, it will not return to me void. What He says it will do, it will do. And if you're not willing to trust Him, He'll find somebody else and do it for them. Remember that. Now, so the thing that we've got to do is don't go to counsel with these people. Don't walk in the paths that they suggest us to walk in. And stay away from the person who scoffs. If it's in the Word of God and you got somebody scoffing, go, nah, don't want to talk to you about that. One of these days you'll come around and you'll see that I'm blessed and I'll be standing there going, my God did this to me and it can be yours too. But the problem is these crab bucket people, they get mad if you get blessed, and if you get really blessed, they'll quit dealing with you. Honestly, when you get really blessed, when you become a good Christian, you know, that's why they say, you're a good Christian, I don't want nothing to do with you. Well, do I want to go back to that lifestyle? Nope. Bye. I lost a lot of friends that way. When I first became a Christian, they said, it doesn't work, Doyle. Won't work. Will not work. You'll fall. And it'll be hard. We'll be here. I have Twinkies. You know, no, I did not do drugs, if you're wondering. My friends did, but I did not. Here I am today, and some of them spend an awful lot of money, and their teeth are falling out, and they look very old and very haggard, and they're younger than me. I know I look like I'm, 35, right? Come on, the mic's on. Somebody say amen. I'll pay you later. But that's what this blessing will come upon us when God tells us and we trust in Him. Now, it's the Word of God and it doesn't return to us void. I would like to read to you over in 2 Peter. That's way over there toward the end of the New Testament. If you get to Revelation, you've got to turn back a few. If I can find it. I'm going backwards through this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Remember, we've been trying to push into the presence of Jesus Christ, wanting to be in His presence. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith the same as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Who's he writing to? To those who have the same kind of faith that have received the righteousness of God. If you're a Christian, he's writing this to you. You have a right to lay claim to what's about to come up. Grace, that means He likes you. God likes you. The grace of God, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. There's two things we really want in our life, and that's God to like me and peace. I want God to like me. Not just love me, but like me. So he's willing to do things for me and with me because he just likes me, not because I'm perfect. Jesus was perfect, and I'm depending upon him. I need that peace because faith is a resting trust. It's a peaceful trust in what God says, and we trust him. How do you get this multiplied to you? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. You want more grace? You want more peace in your life? Then start understanding what Jesus is really, really like. You see Jesus, you see the Father. We need to seek out, we as Christians need to push into the presence of Jesus, and we'll understand what God's really like. Jesus never turned down a person that walked up to him and said, "I need your help." Never. And that's the way God the Father is. Sometimes we're a little shaky and we're like, but we need to learn to trust him and walk in seeking him. And it says, seeing that his power was granted to us, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Whose power? Greek, it's referring right back to Jesus. Of our Lord Jesus, in verse 2, seeing that his, Jesus' divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything to life and godliness. That's a promise. That's one of those things we're supposed to be thinking upon. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Once again, the power comes through Jesus. How do we get that? Through true knowledge of him. Not just facts and figures, but when we have a personal relationship. From hanging out with him. From talking to him. From reading and saying, oh, this is how he acts. This is what he does. I hung out this morning with Jesus. And me and him went for a walk and we talked to each other. And it says, for by these he granted you his precious, that means valuable, and magnificent, superlative, great, grandiose, throw any big word in there you want, promises, in order that by them you might become partakers. He's saying there's promises given to you, and these things are humongous promises. So big that they're just hard for us to grasp. So big we just can't hardly say, you did that for me and I trust you? Sounds like a scoffer. It's okay to say, I want to learn about this. I want to understand this. Teach me your ways. I don't get it. But it's another just offhand go, yeah, right. But that's what it says. He has granted us great promises, and he has granted to us everything pertains to life and godliness through true knowledge. He's granted us these great promises in order that by those great promises, you will become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. What it just means is, if you're having trouble in your life, and you can't get there by being good enough and saying, oh, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. What you need to focus on is give that up and start focusing on Jesus. Because when you're focusing on him and knowing him, you have everything it takes to live a good life, a godly life, and it's given to you by the power, the divine power, and you have the chance and the opportunity to just like suck that power right from him and to live that life of godliness and have everything you need provided because you're in connection with the divine power of God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad somebody didn't go scoff, scoff, snort, snort. Because we would have had to said, would you go sit back in the back because we don't want anything to do. What I'm saying, folks, is once again, the truth of God, God does not lie. And here's a promise to us that if we seek and grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will have everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Say that. Say that over and over again till it sinks into your very heart and soul. And whenever it gets there and you really say, I really believe and trust that. Bam! You'll start seeing these things happen in your life. You'll start seeing the godliness being manifested. You'll start seeing the everything you need coming towards you because God prospers you. God blesses you. God likes you. And there'll just be unexpected things. Why? Because He likes you. And when we trust Him and just walk in that and say, He likes me. He He'll lead me because He's my shepherd. He'll protect me because He's my shepherd. And if I should get lost, He'll come find me because He's my shepherd. And when He does find me, He'll come back and throw a party because I came back. He brought me back. And things are all right. I don't have to live in fear in this life anymore. That's a promise. Just keep saying it to yourself, saying it out loud, so that the angels and the devils and yourself can hear. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise You, we thank You, we give You glory and honor, both now, forever and ever and ever. Here's the blessing that should be upon you. May the Lord answer you in times of distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your best offerings. May He grant you your heart's desire, and may He bring all your plans to success. Then, when you guys get this all going, then we all here will shout for joy at your victory and fly our flags in the name of our God. May the Lord fulfill all your requests. Receive that in Jesus' name.